Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
NFL draft is coming up 2 weeks from Thursday, and should be an interesting draft. No doubt about that. It always is. And if you're looking for great coverage on the NFL draft, I highly recommend my next guest. He covers the NFL draft for The Athletic, and you can find him on Twitter at DP Brugler, B-R-U-G-L-E-R. Dane Brugler joining me from The Athletic right now to talk NFL draft. Dane, it's great to have you on the show. So is the Kyler Murray number one to Arizona thing still, does that still have as much steam? Is that a fait accompli, do we think, at this point? Or could there be some shenanigans between now and 2 weeks from Thursday?
Well, at this time last year, we all thought Sam Darnold was going to be the first pick to Cleveland at number one. So, you know, you can never say it's official until it's official. But where we stand right now, just over 2 weeks out, I think Kyler Murray is the overwhelming favorite. You know, you talk to people around the league, you get a sense for what other teams believe the Cardinals are looking at. You just get the sense that most of the league believes that Kyler Murray will be the first pick and will be a member of the Arizona Cardinals. And that really creates a lot of intrigue about, you know, what are they going to do with Josh Rosen, how that, you know, the domino effect, how that, you know, changes what the 49ers do at two. How does that, you know, the quarterback domino effect? Where's Dwayne Haskins come off the board? Drew Locke, the quarterback order, that'll be interesting. So a lot depends on that first pick, but at this point, it would be a surprise if it's anybody but Kyler Murray at number one.
Okay, there's a lot that I want to unpack there from your answer. You brought up a few things I want to touch on. First, I want to get to Rosen, but with respect to Murray, let's pretend for a second that he doesn't go number one to the Cardinals. That just like last year, and I think you bring up a great point, that Sam Darnold was the talk to Cleveland at about this time last year, wound up being Baker Mayfield. Murray seems like a very specific type of quarterback certainly not cut from a traditional cloth, that he may not be everybody's cup of tea just as far as style goes. If Kyler Murray doesn't go one, where would you forecast him dropping to if he doesn't go at one?
Probably, you know, it's always a possibility we see trade-ups, especially with quarterbacks in the first round. The last 3 years, there have been, 11 quarterbacks drafted in the first round. 10 have been acquired by teams who traded up to get that quarterback.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's very possible we see a trade up. But let's just say that, you know, 2 and 3, which was San Francisco and the Jets, say they stay put and they take Nick Bosa, Quinnen Williams, Josh Allen, whoever. You have to look at Oakland at 4. And with John Gruden, who has been outspoken about saying, you know what, 10 years ago, back when I was coaching with the Bucks, you know, I would have been married to a lot of the old school thinking about, you know, I want a quarterback who's, you know, 6'3", and a lot of the traditional things we think about with a quote-unquote franchise quarterback. But he said, after seeing Pat Mahomes, after seeing Mayfield and some of these other quarterbacks, I have a wide-open outlook on these quarterbacks. So I believe Kyler Murray would not get past the fourth pick to the Oakland Raiders at number 4. I think he'd be too enticing for Gruden to pass up.
Okay, so if Kyler – man, think about that for a second. If Kyler Murray – let me ask you this, Dane. If Kyler Murray goes to the Raiders at 4, which training camp would you rather go cover, the Raiders or the Browns?
Yeah, it'd be a lot of fun either way, you know, and it's exciting because, yeah, we talk about Oakland this offseason bringing in Antonio Brown, and not only would you bringing in Kyler Murray, but the Raiders still have two other first-round picks.
Yeah.
So they have a chance to really overhaul, you know, the outlook of that roster, and, I mean, regardless of who they pick, whether it's Kyler Murray or a defensive stud like Quinnen Williams, they have a chance to really take a big step forward, and you would hope so what it took to get that those first round picks, trading away Khalil Mack. But you know, I think my answer would be Cleveland. Just, you know, it's And I think that there's almost too much hype being thrown Cleveland's way right now because of all the moves they made. But you can't help but be optimistic. And it's going to be a lot of fun to see how that all plays out. And it's going to, you know, it's hard to believe that, you know, at this point, before even we get to the draft, the Browns are viewed as the favorite of the AFC North. But here we are. I think that's the case.
Yeah, the Raiders have to be a lock for Hard Knocks. They just have to be. Please tell me they're a lock for Hard Knocks NFL. Dane Brugler joining me from The Athletic talking NFL draft. Just to put a bow on the whole Cardinal, Murray, their quarterback situation, what do you think the market for Josh Rosen is, both in terms of the teams that might be most interested, and what do you think a fair offer is for him in terms of draft equity?
That's such an interesting question, because it's hard to answer when we don't know. Okay, if Arizona does not draft Josh Rosen in the first round last year, where does he fall? How much further does he go down in the first round before someone says, okay, you know, Rosen's too good, we need to draft him here? He's not for everybody. I think if you just go based on the tape, Josh Rosen's a top 10 pick. I mean, I would argue he's the best quarterback in this draft, better than Kyler Murray, better than Haskins, Locke, Daniel Jones. But when you talk about the quarterback position, he's the CEO of your franchise. It's not just what he does on tape, how he throws a football. It's, you know, how he interacts with his teammates, how he, you know, basically is the face of your franchise. And a lot of teams aren't convinced that Josh Rosen can be that guy. Be the CEO, what they're looking for. So not everybody's going to be all in on Josh Rosen. The fair asking price is the first-round pick, because a year ago, you know, he was a first-round pick. But when we factor everything else in, I think we're looking at a best-case scenario, maybe two twos, a two this year and a two next year. You look at the Chargers, with Phillip Rivers, the clock is ticking there. The New England Patriots, you never know. The Redskins are an interesting fit. Especially when you think about, yes, they just acquired Case Keenum, but why not include Case Keenum as part of the deal, send him to Arizona, his former coach, Cliff Kingsbury, and you have Case Keenum ready to be the starter if need be, if Kyler's not ready on opening day, kind of just, you know, keep the starter position ready when Kyler's ready to take over. And I think the Redskins, with Alex Smith not expected to play this year, I mean, Colt McCoy's injured, you bring in Josh Rosen, not only do you have a short-term answer, you might also have the long-term answer as well.
That's interesting. Dane Brugler joining me from The Athletic talking NFL draft. All right, Dane, so we're pretty much through this pro day, certainly through the combine process, and we're on the home stretch here to the draft. Who have been the biggest winners in terms of upping their stock? Who are a couple of names who are much better off now than they were before heading to Indianapolis for the combine?
I think you look at Ohio State, a couple of their wide receivers, Paris Campbell and Terry McLaurin. For McLaurin, it really started at the Senior Bowl. Paris Campbell turned down his Senior Bowl invite. Terry McLaurin gets the call, and he took advantage. He had a great week. No one could cover him. Speed. You see the route prowess. He did a nice job catching the football away from his body. And then at the combine, tested really well in the 4.3s. All the drills, the on-field work was great. So I think Terry McLaurin has been ascending ever since the Senior Bowl. We know he's a big-time special teams player. He's a great human being. And so those intangibles are going to help him as well. He's in the top 100 mix somewhere on day two. And then Paris Campbell, the big question with him was, okay, at Ohio State, he was basically that H-back, that Percy Harvin style a weapon in Urban Meyer's offense. So we didn't get to see him a lot on downfield routes. How does he handle himself tracking the football deep? But at the combine, not only did he run a 4.31, but during the position-specific drills, wide receiver drills, downfield, he looked natural. He looked fluid running those downfield routes. He looked natural tracking the football. So I think a lot of those concerns with Paris Campbell, he alleviated those concerns in Indianapolis. So I think Paris Campbell is in the mix to be a first-round pick. At worst, he's going somewhere in the top 40.
The Patriots obviously just had Rob Gronkowski retire a couple of weeks ago. Does that impact, do you think? I mean, they're a team that's flush with picks. I think six picks in the top 100, something like that. Does Gronk's retirement affect how you look at the Patriots entering the draft? And how do you think they're going to do with those six picks? That would feel like something where Belichick has some things up his sleeve.
Yeah, New England's always been active on draft weekend, and it's not always trading up, trading down. You just never know what they're going to do. I wouldn't be surprised if they traded, one of their second rounders to get up in maybe an early second rounder next year You know, they like to manipulate the draft, and Bill Belichick's so good at it. But I think when you look at the tight end position, this is a pretty stacked tight end group. I think we're going to see them double dip at the position, maybe go early in the first two rounds. We'll see maybe Irv Smith in the second round out of Alabama, and then later on get a blocking tight end. Trevon Wesco from West Virginia is a guy I have my eye on.
Dane Brugler, The Athletic, covers the NFL draft, joining me on CBS Sports Radio. What do you think if you're doing an over-under on number of quarterbacks that wind up going in the first round? We know the big names. You mentioned Locke and Haskins. Obviously, Murray's going to be a first-rounder. If I put the number at 4.5, you think it goes over or under?
In the first round, it's going to be under. And I think the better question is, top 17.
Okay.
How many quarterbacks go in the top 17 picks? Do all four go that high? Does one of the four get to a later first round? We know Kyler Murray is going to go high, probably at number one. I think Dwayne Haskins, it's funny, before the draft, at least going into the draft, Dwayne Haskins was kind of thought to be that top quarterback, and Kyler Murray was the wild card. Now it's the opposite. We think Kyler Murray is going to be the first quarterback, and Dwayne Haskins is a wild card. Wouldn't be a surprise if Haskins falls out of the top 10 somewhere in the team. But you look at the teams that need a quarterback, you know, with starting at Arizona, they take Murray, and then you get to the Giants at 6, the Broncos at 10 are a possibility, the Bengals at 11, Miami Dolphins at 13, the Redskins at 15, the Giants at 17, holding that Cleveland pick that they acquired in the Beckham trade. So I think it's going to be interesting. My bet is that all four will go somewhere in those top 17 picks. It's just a matter of, do we see any of those four falling out of the top 17? That'll be an interesting part of the quarterback drama on draft day.
So the four would be Haskins, Locke, Murray, and is Daniel Jones the fourth one?
Yeah, Daniel Jones, who, you know, it's just, you watch his tape at Duke, and it's hard to get overexcited about it, but he's just, it's hard to poke holes in his game because he's such a cerebral quarterback. He understands every moving part on the offense. You know, being coached by Coach Cutcliffe at Duke, you see those Manning mannerisms, you know, the footwork, the way they hold the football. It looks like Peyton Manning back there. You know, it's a little different when he throws the ball, but at least in his mannerisms, you see it. And so he's been coached up. The mental part of the game, it comes very natural to him. So I think there's going to be a team that looks at these quarterbacks and says, okay, well, you know, Drew Locke, we can't figure out his feet, his decision-making. Dwayne Haskins, you know, when he gets pressured, it goes south really quickly. Yep. Daniel Jones might not have the biggest arm, but you know what? I feel really good about the mechanics, about the mental side of things. And so we're going to take our chances on Daniel Jones. There are going to be teams that are thinking that way.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.